Right now is the most critical time for us to take back control of our food supply and become self-reliant by having our very own food forest. Transform your yard into a food forest and create a system of self-reliance that's easy and enjoyable with our friends at Food Forest Abundance. No matter where you're starting from, you can become more self-reliant. You can take your self-reliance to the next level by becoming a producer of your own food through growing and foraging. Learn how to turn your property into an income-producing source of economic self-reliance. If you're ready to go off-grid, click the link in the description and use coupon code FORBIDDEN for discounts on your very own food forest with Food Forest Abundance. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Richard Harris. First, a couple of announcements. We're back on YouTube as Forbidden Knowledge News Clips. We'll be sharing YouTube-safe clips on there, so be sure to go check that out and subscribe. That link is in the description. You can now get Forbidden Knowledge News live 5 days a week on Rumble and our website. Our website is forbiddenknowledge.news. It's also the home of the Forbidden Knowledge Network. That's where we feature some of your favorite podcasts. And you can always get every new episode of Forbidden Knowledge News on Rockfin, Rumble, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Be sure to sign up on Rockfin. Rockfin is where you get our premium content. It is a great way to support us. Best of all, you get all the premium content from every creator on Rockfin. Just go to rockfin.com/FKN+ or use that link in the description. All our links are right there in the description. Today, I want to welcome Richard Harris. He has studied and practiced personal development for 2 decades. He uses an eclectic model in coaching, which finds strategies and tactics to cultivate the character across all domains, physical, psychological, spiritual, and environmental. He is passionate about freedom and is an active in the freedom movement, both online and offline. He is enemy of tyranny, both within and without, and an advocate for the best in humanity to grow. Richard, welcome. How you doing?
Oh, I'm really happy, man. I'm excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to get into your discussion. Today, we're going to be talking about true freedom and what it looks like for all aspects of the human experience. And there are really so many completely lost in this experience that still believe that any of this material realm is of any consequence or importance. And if anything, most of what we interact with and give our time and emotion to on a daily basis, like social media, video games, television, it's all really a complete distraction from our true gnosis and awareness of who and what we are and why we're here. And you've helped many realize this very thing and align and become aware of their true path. So we've got lots to talk about. Stoked to get into our discussion. Before we do, this is your first time on. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what set you on your path.
Oh man. Okay. Well, so I'm a life coach. But what that means in my own case is I look at the human experience from all of the possible angles. So from the biological to the sociological, to the political, to the psychological, and then to the deeper spiritual stuff. And in particular, the I'm sure we're going to agree, like the deeper spiritual stuff is the hardest bit. It's where the most abuse is, and it's where the biggest action and the biggest leverage is. And it's also where the hardest challenges are. So when I started my career, it was like, is on things like positive psychology, training, biohacking, supplements, stuff like that. But like, it becomes easy to do that. It's not easy, but it's relatively straightforward how to do that, right? I wonder if you agree that, like, I think the challenges on the spiritual side is just harder to grasp that. So that's where most of my energy goes into. So the reason why I look like a state right now is just got back from a 6-week pilgrimage around like the sacred sites in France. And we can talk about that. But that gives you a flavor for like the where most of my energy goes to. I do a lot of investing. I do a lot of like videos like this. I do like a live stream and everything. And I do a lot for the freedom movement, like since the scamdemic started.
Did you have any particular moment that was a profound awakening for you, or have you always had some level of awareness? Were you asleep at any time?
Do you know, man, like I've always been a bit weird. I've always been a lot weird.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Does that sound familiar?
Oh, it's me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So perhaps you went on a similar journey to me. Always been weird. Always seen things differently, and that gets you in a lot of trouble because you're always going outside of like the laser fence of what the system wants. You know. Mm. So I very luckily like I cottoned on to the conspiratorial paradigm early, like since I was like 18 or something. Like September 11th had just happened at that point. So because I'm like 38,
yeah,
so that was my first big conspiracy, and I was looking at like old grainy David Icke videos and stuff, and fuck, like the Pentagon wasn't hit by a plane, what the fuck.
Like, yeah,
and then it kind of went from there, but like this, I think for many of us, and I wonder if your experience was similar, like when March 2020 happened and the scamdemic kicked off, I was like, right, Rich, fucking go, this is it, time to shine, you know.
What is it that you see that's really behind everything? We talk about it every day. We talk about the depopulation aspects. We talk about normalization of mental illness, the transhuman aspects, the enslavement, the social credit, the possible economic. But these are all really material things. What do you think is really behind some of the more insane agendas that are being pushed forward right now?
Yeah, man, that's such a good question. So yeah, you had like physical ones and then like different ones on the surface of the psyche there, like economic factors and censorship and all that kind of stuff and movements. Mm-hmm. Those are like mental objects, right? But like they're kind of like in the surface of the psyche. You go a couple of stages deeper and you get to the you get to love, basically, love and fear. And then behind that is like God and the devil. And it's gnosis versus ignorance and enslavement. And I think that's more or less the foundation. And then everything, all the stuff you mentioned there and the 500 other things we could mention, all the other scams are kind of like downstream from that. So my thinking is, like, if we can really get it at the very foundation, then the stuff like the chemtrails and the fluoride in the water and like fucking censorship on Facebook, or the fact that people use Facebook even though it's an abusive relationship, the problem of narcissism, the problem of all the mental disorder and stuff you meant, that's all downstream from that, you see. And then pop one more step, the manifested world won't look like a series of Soviet Union fucking tower blocks, and instead it will look like heaven on earth, you know, and it'll be exciting and beautiful and interesting.
I'm having a much better standing of the underlying nature of this energy that we utilize on a daily basis, but depending on if we're utilizing it for negativity or fear or power or anything that will take us down a darker path, like these elites and globalists are using to keep control over us now, but we could also use this same energy for good. And I think that the power of love and good and purity and all the things that we are trying to display and fight for here is the more powerful force, in that it will always prevail over trying to enhance that negative side, if you know what I mean.
Man, such a good series of points. So how have you found like the best ways to get in to solve those problems that you listed there, to use all that stuff and that awakening that you're obviously having for good rather than for evil?
Well, the for me, it's been a process. I had to first become aware of all the nasty things, and there was a level of anger, and then I felt like I had to let everyone know, but then realized that most people have to be ready to find out some of this information. So there's these levels that you have to peel through to become aware of this, but in the long run, I'm not saying ignore some of the negative, but don't participate in it and don't give your power to it. And just know that most of it is an illusion to try and divide us, to get us on either one side or the other, as far away from each other as possible. That's why we have the right-left-wing paradigm. And the easiest way for the globalists and the dark side to do this is through fear and through propaganda and through war and violence and all the dark and negative things which they utilize, and they have kept control for a long time with it because we've been asleep. And now I think that there is a massive awakening happening and the tide's starting to turn a little bit. That's why they're trying to amp up their agendas and throw everything but the kitchen sink out right now. But there's too many people that are on the upswing that are realizing these things. How do you see that? How do you see our awakening going right now?
Man, such good point. So I couldn't be happier with the counterculture. And this is, for those of us that have been on this ride for a long time, right, it's been the most frustrating ride ever, because you're usually alone, you're isolated, and you're disappointed with the awakening process. And like, basically this year, it's the first time where you're like, oh shit, we've got something really good here. Because you know, if you count it from like 2020, right, us lot that are serious about this have had 3.5 years now to really fucking chisel away at our characters, to really push, be tested. I know you know what I'm talking about, and I know probably the whole of your audience knows what I'm talking about. Unless you've got like some like deep state trolls in some intelligence bunker somewhere, in which case they've sold out and they don't know what the fuck we're talking about. So there's this wonderful quality where, like, not being pompous, but like, we are the best people. We're the courageous people that are just trying to do the right thing against all the odds, with none of the freaking assistance that the system offers. You go down the left-hand path, right, and the system's like, oh yeah, sure, I'll give you a house, yeah, sure, I'll give you like social approval, yeah, sure. In England, you get like a knighthood or something, you get like a medal around your neck or something, yeah, I'll give you that, I'll give you whatever you want. You just have to bend the knee, you know. And what we are, Chris, is we're a bunch of people that didn't bend the knee, and every time you overcome against all those odds, you get stronger. And now, resonant to the new psycho-spiritual truth that is moving in now faster and faster every day, the age of Aquarius, which is like a magnet moving through in the inner planes, we're now threading together all these people, just like me and you, just like this, in fact, is a thread coming together, and we're forming this network, and that network is the new civilization. It's a civilization built on love, on respect, and if we can do it well, and I think we will, like you know, the UFO stuff, which maybe we can go down that rabbit hole, like the cool technology, like the scalar physics, the spiritual stuff, all that stuff, man, it's ours, you know.
Yeah, I think that those in power already have the knowledge of the power of this free energy that surrounds us all the time, that we utilize, that I was just talking about, for either negativity or positivity. But there's also people in our realms that are just regular everyday Joes that are starting to look into things like anti-gravity and free energy, that are cracking this stuff and coming out with this information. And there's so many that are doing it at the same time that these three-letter agencies can't keep up, and they can't go and take out everybody. And people are starting to notice that the ones that do discover these things go missing. So that's not going to be an efficient way of keeping this on the down low anymore. So what I see now is aerospace companies cashing in on these people, finding them at a very early time whenever they do make these discoveries, and either infiltrating it or getting in on the business or making them sign non-disclosure agreements and just infiltrating every aspect of it to try and keep us from finding out. But I do see a good side of that, where there are people that are taking advantage of the system. They know they're trying to be silenced and signing NDAs, but they're still doing the research for the greater good and not for these negative influences. So that's a very interesting aspect happening right now, too.
That's so interesting. So like, on the scalar physics side, because like some of these topics, right, with all of it's pretty frightening, but for some reason, the scalar physics frightens me more than, you know, it's one of the ones that frightens me the most, right? And so it sounds like you've got quite a good pulse on like the developments on that front of it.
Well, I've spoken with people that are involved in that research and development of this type of energy, and they can't say much. And most of what they're saying is so highly technical that I can just understand the basics about it. But from what I understand, there is always this energy surrounding us, whether you want to call it love or hate or just like the Force. I like to think of it like Star Wars. It's the Force. It's this energy that surrounds us that is the most dangerous thing for us to find out about, because it has implications for everything that we don't understand, like the afterlife, free energy, zero-point gravity, anti-gravity, magic, manifestation, the manipulation of matter. I think it's also a state of matter that we don't understand that can be manipulated by certain forces and certain things that we interact with on a daily basis, and more people are finding this out and bringing it to the forefront. So it's very exciting times that we have reached a point where we can no longer like keep some of this stuff under wraps. These three-letter agencies and these government agencies, it's going to come out within the next, I'd say, 5 years. There's so many people that are bringing this stuff to the forefront. They can't hide it anymore. The question is, what's going to happen once it comes out? Are they going to completely take everything over and use it for negativity and to enslave us? That's what they will probably do. But if we can get a hold on this and get ahead of everything, I think right now is our best chance for coming out of this and taking control of it ourselves.
Yeah, it's the chance. And I actually think like the war we're fighting now, which is fairly called World War III, we're right in the middle of it. This is a war that's like a kind of a once in a great year kind of thing. And we've got like a once in 25,000 year opportunity to shake off some of the worst characters in all of history and lay claim to these things. But this goes back to our original point, right? It's love versus fear. And I know that sounds so trite and cliche, but it really is that, you know, like you and I, despite our flaws, are aiming to be on team love. And the Cabal are all about team evil and or team fear. And like, you know, all their stuff like FOMO, neediness, greed, envy, all these, there's like hundreds of these different permutations of fear. And what they are is the absolute apex of that hierarchy that the fear must form itself into, right? Yeah. And we're a competing organization, right? We're like this egalitarian love thing. But the thing is, man, like with the scalar physics, even just with the occult stuff, like if you go deep into that, as I'm sure you do and many of your audience do, with the genetic manipulation technology that we're seeing with the COVID injections and the other stuff they got cooked up, with the bioweapon stuff, like with what they did with the COVID virus, with fucking nuclear weapons, which are like 80 years old tech by now, the AI, like you could probably list like 50, 100, a few hundred of these world-ending things, right? We are going to drop a ball any day now, right? And the only thing that's going to, we cannot think our way through not dropping all those balls with this fear-based culture. It's done. One way or another, that thing is going to end. But the way through it, right, is like if we can get and win this spiritual battle and bring enough of the light of that love inside us. It's trite, it's cliche, but I know I'm right on this, right? To use Christian terminology, I'm not a Christian, but they had a lot of things right. The Christ energy, that's what we're aiming for. And if we get enough of that and anchor that down to the world, we can have all this stuff and not fuck it up. But if there's not enough of that or the Cabal or an accident with AI or an accident with scalar physics or a bioweapon or whatever, like, it's going to doom us, you see.
Do you subscribe to the idea of timelines in a sense that those that are still in this material path and stuck in fear and stuck in this material realm and don't believe in anything outside of this, it seems like they're going to continue on their timeline and continue down their path no matter what? They'll have their own existence, but us in this other reality will have our own existence coinciding that, but not necessarily have them be a part of our reality at all if we're not engaged in any of that lifestyle. So it's like there'll be two separate realities at one time. Is that something you think that'll be the case?
Yeah, so I mean, like, because it's right on the edge of what we know, even because we're if we're in this conspiracy stuff, we're on the bleeding edge anyway, right? And I think that stuff is more like the bleeding edge of the bleeding edge. So it's like it's speculative, but it keeps coming up. You know, it comes up a lot with the UFO sort of stuff, and A friend of mine's a very good occultist here in the UK. He's legit, like very talented, very wise, and he's dialed it all in with a lot of humility. And he works with those premises, like when he does a lot of his stuff. So I don't have practical experience with that myself, but like from this guy's testimony, like he's deadly serious, very truth oriented. He's like, yeah, I have to think about that when I'm doing all these things. And from the little threads that I pull up, like from other bits of the conspiratorial thing, like I have a sense that it's probably the case, but do you think
Well,
reality is
I was
more
just
like that?
speaking with someone yesterday that there will always be, each of us will always have different levels of awareness coming into this reality. And no matter what, it's always going to be that way. We will never all be on the same level of awareness when it comes to spirituality and our understanding and our perception of what's happening. But those that are gaining a higher level of awareness, and this false reality is falling away for them. They're going to continue on that path, but there are some that are still so much lower in their awareness and have no desire to even break out of that, that that reality is still going to exist no matter what kind of utopian reality we create for ourselves. There's probably still going to be some people that still want to participate in this material realm.
Yeah, totally. So I agree with everything you said there, right? And so from my own practical working actual knowledge that I know that there is a process of synchronicity, projection, psychosynthesis is quite a good word for it, where like your inner reality interacts with the manifested world through all these really interesting means, okay? And if you're fear-based, then you get like Soviet Union tower block scamdemics and just like fucking McDonald's and shit like that, right? And but if you're love-based, it's the other way. So I know that happens, but the question is like, does that happen so much that like there's a splitting off of like literal actual manifested worlds, or is there just one manifested world where that process of synchronicity, let's call it, is wrestling for the sort of like control of that one world?
I
What do
think
you
it's
think?
more along those lines. It just may seem like we're in completely different realities because I like to think of that every time I have to travel somewhere that may not be a place that I am used to going or somewhere that is not best for me. Like I have to go to Walmart or something, or I have to go to some of these places where there are a lot of people who enjoy engaging in this matrix reality, and that's what it's all about. Well, if at sometimes I have to put myself into that reality, and I consider that in a way, I'm jumping into a different dimension temporarily, but I know I'll be able to jump right out. It still exists there, but it is a type of different reality in a way.
Yeah, so let's build on that. So like something that I find really interesting is when you go into areas like that, right? Especially if you open up and you're close and you sort of have a good rapport with people there, you actually pick up on their astral. So it's really like it's exactly like dialing into a radio frequency. And do you notice that like you just start to get the stuff that they're saying, that whole normie paradigm just seems to start making so much sense when you're with them. And then like you go like 3 minutes away and you fucking snap out of you're like, what was I thinking? It seems so real in there, you
Well,
know?
I don't want to say completely asleep. I was halfway in and out of those worlds. I was halfway in the normie world and halfway in the world of mystery and metaphysics and things like that my whole life because I was always fascinated with that. But I did participate with this reality for the longest time. In more of an unbalanced way, I believe. I was more sleeping than awake for a long time and participated with a lot of this, what we would consider nonsense. So I do understand still when I go into those realms, like I still it's easier for me to engage with some of these people because I was once there with them for a very long time. But still, I know I could never go back to that because I have such an awareness and knowing that it's no longer, it's like it has no importance. It gives me no joy. It doesn't have any excitement to participate in any of that stuff. So there's no way I could ever go back to it. But yeah, I can kind of bring myself to that level temporarily to understand where they're coming from. But I do know that you can't try and force anyone on that level to have an understanding that they're not ready for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's an abuse that I think is often overlooked, right? So there is such a thing as having two big ideas to digest in one go, right? So like, there's a two big idea that me and you, if we took too much mushrooms together, for example, we turned our inner gaze to a certain big element in the inner planes, it could blow our minds, and we're done. That's it for this lifetime and the next lifetime. We're out of here, right? So there is such, you got to digest ideas at the right pace, and it's the same with a normie. You know, like if you start telling them this stuff too quick, one of the fears that drives the normies, which hopefully will help a lot of people navigate this whole thing, is it's a fear of loss of meaning. So again, remember we mentioned there's like hundreds of different expressions of fear. Fear of loss of meaning is one of them, right? So when you come up and with through your very being start talking about like scalar physics and fucking crop circles and the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
What's at stake there is the very compass of like what that person's done for 40 years, what their up and down is, what their raison d'etre is, like who they are and what is real and what is true and good. And those little words, if they really follow it, honestly, for just a few minutes, really, it's going to undo all of that. And so you see that the judgment that comes and the defensiveness, the savage defensiveness, the denial, all the rest of it. And we've all seen it loads through the scamdemic and stuff. Like, I want to highlight that it if you take that one layer deeper, it's a specific fear of loss of meaning, which is there. And next to that is like, maybe actually that fear of loss of meaning is kind of good, because like perhaps if you're an average Norman, you've been that asleep, you don't want to bite all that off and digest all that off in one go, because it may be too much. You need to have a decent pace for that, you know.
I think a huge problem for myself and a lot of people who are stuck in that reality and stuck in the workforce and stuck in a job that they really do not enjoy doing is the people who attempt to make you feel bad or bring guilt to you for doing something that you enjoy and being able to make a living for doing these things. I think there's a huge stigma, because I would feel guilty for the longest time that I would be able to wake up and not have to be barked at to do a job that I hated, and to be able to do something that I love and be able to make a living off of. And I think that's a huge problem with our society, is being able to become successful off of things we love. I think that's what everybody should be doing, not just some people. I think everybody should be able to be able to survive in this matrix by doing something that they enjoy doing that still contributes to their immediate reality in some way.
Yeah, so well said, Chris. And like, look, let me tell you now that I love that you're doing something that you love and you're free and you got out. Like when I heard that, I was like, fucking go on, mate. Good for you. You know? And if anyone in the audience is like halfway there or 100% there, like Chris is, like, I love that you're doing it too. And I hope you can get even more free, you know, because it's all like, it's all by degrees, isn't it? You can be 1 degree more free by tomorrow,
yes.
You know? But this goes back to the fear thing, right? So if you're in that other system, right? And you are by definition in denial. If you're in our system, you're curious. Follow the curiosity, you become one of us. It really is day and night like that. Follow love like that, you become one of us. Get drowned in fear, you become one of them, right? And if you're in this fear-based culture, right, it has to be hierarchical, because I can go into this deep if you want to, but fear must, if you analyze this, you'll find it's true. Fear has to fragment itself into two things. So if I'm anxious or something, right, there's this fear of something really bad in the future that might happen, and then my egoic consciousness pulls away to something away from that thing. And the troublesome thing about that is, like, I'm actually creating the object of the fear in the inner planes, whilst the ego is directing, you know, to the will to try and get away from it. So you're juggling two opposing forces, and then, okay, you with me? Am I going through this too fast, or is it
no, making sense?
Okay, so one of the facts about fear is it always splits into two. So it's just a thought experiment that you'll find it's true. And if it ever doesn't happen, email me, because I need to know about it. But so then what happens is you're projecting that stuff, right? So what I can do is, let's just say I'm the classic one. I'm afraid of the inferior position and I need the superior position, which is the big one that drives this whole fucking shithole, or like 80% of it anyway. What I can do as a coping strategy, because I'm not energized by love or Christ consciousness, the balance and splendor of that. Instead, I've got this fragmentation, this binary thing of the fear, right? So what evil people do, because if you're in fear, you're not necessarily evil. But what they've realized they can do is like take that fear of the inferior position and then project it onto the other person. Yeah, you're not inferior, Chris. But I could, if I was evil, I could say, "See you, Chris. You're the inferior one. You." And this works the best on very sensitive people, right? Because if you're sensitive, you pick up on that thing, you know. And they say, "You're the inferior one," and that's how they do it. And then you believe that and take that on, and then the superiority sort of props me up, even though you're actually my shadow, and the inferiority and the shadow is being projected to you. And then you get whole clusters of people like that that form these big three-dimensional hierarchies, because it's not just one layer of super and inferior, you get multiple layers, and that is the cabal. So you were talking about like judgment and guilt and stuff. Well, it's an expression of that, because like the normies that are using that as a coping strategy for the tremendous amount of fear they have, in absence of the love that their psyche and spirit has become too retarded to channel down, they use that as a coping strategy. And that's why they want to project the guilt and the envy and the shame and the inferiority and the rest of it onto you, because you are a life raft to them. And without it, they are by default drowning.
Well, it seems like pretty soon people are either going to be forced to find that creative outlet or just get rid of it all to get rid they that's what they want us to get rid of creativity altogether. But if you look at the things that are happening with ChatGPT, AI art, and some of the advancements in that technology, it is going to eliminate some levels of creative jobs. It's going to, especially for those that don't have any desire to put their own creative energy into anything, that's going to become more prevalent, and that's going to become more of this matrix type of physical reality, is another layer of false reality on top of everything else that is going to attempt to create our entertainment and create our reality. So if we don't take that back and start creating our own reality with our own creativity, I think that is a slight concerning aspect to me of what is happening technologically is with this AI. What do you think about that?
I made such good points. Yeah, so I think what I was getting from you is like there's this extra level of like anti-gnosis, like this is a deepening in, of a new layer of illusion on top of all the other layers that you've already got through, right? Yeah, I think you're spot on that. But I'd like to respectfully push back on a little bit of the nuance that you were expressing there with the creativity. So one of the things that I love the working out the differences between our two cultures, because it's so interesting to me. One of them is, if you go far enough in our culture, you become very creative by default. There's actually no way to get around that, right? You go far enough in the other culture, you lose all your creativity. So those clowns, right? They can buy creative ideas, they can bully it out of people, they can manipulate their way to taking the credit for creativity, but they can't create, because that comes from the breath of the creator, and it goes all the way down and gets us here. Whereas those people, like they become like the apex predators of, like, I think like the astral planes and like below, but from that love level, which is closer to the source, they just can't operate there. So they shut themselves off into this different thing. So you look, and I think it's a one-for-one correlation. You go far enough on that side, like they do not become creators. And I think things like ChatGPT and stuff, which is brilliant, it's game-changing technology. There's no doubt about it. But I think what it does is it rehashes expertly, amazingly rehashes and reorganizes creative stuff that creative people have already drawn down and put into the world. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's 100% what's happening. But where the danger comes in with that is we already have a hard enough time of deciphering truth, especially when it comes to our eyes and what we're presented visually. This is going to be deceiving more people on different levels than we could have ever imagined, especially when it comes to photography, videography, being able to frame people, being able to set people up, and being able to outright deceive people in a visual way. That's just the beginning of it. But when you look at things like ChatGPT, this is going to start di dictating, I believe, our entertainment business in a huge way, which is great, because people are already checking out of that bullshit. People are already done with Hollywood and everything they had to offer, because they were already on the downslide and not coming up with anything entertaining anymore. It was all about propaganda anyway. So when
Totally.
we add this AI and ChatGPT and technology aspect to it, to where they want that to run Hollywood, they want that to run the entertainment business, they want that to write all our fiction and entertainment and laws and everything we interact with on a daily basis, Well, first of all, it's going to fail in, I believe it's, it has to fail in the entertainment front, because there's no creative spark behind there. It's just, like you said, rehatching all the creativity that we've already put into that technology, and it's just using recycled imagination. But what if we could take that back? We have a chance now, because they're trying to use this to run everything.
Yeah.
We're not going to have interest in it. It's not going to give us that joy. It's not going to give us that same entertainment. And I don't think it will ever last. And I'm hoping that because of that, it will all fall apart.
Yeah.
But they're still going to try and use it for everything, I believe.
Yeah. So this should be a great challenge to the freedom movement, right? Because it's like, okay, if what you're saying is true, Chris, and I believe it is, that our creativity is superior in those senses to ChatGPT and the rest of it, fucking prove it then. Go right. If you're a screenwriter, go make a screenwriter thing that no AI
That's
could ever
what we
do.
Need, like, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is a major way to look at this war, right? Like, it's like, go claim the power, because at a certain point, like, they have all the advantages and all the wins and everything, but you get to a certain point in the inner planes and then they've got nothing. And I think what we're challenged to do in this freedom movement is go further than these people by definition of who they can go, because they cannot access love. And if they could access love, they would be on our side. It is as simple as that. You cannot behave the way they're behaving if you jack into that stuff. And this is one of the cool things about, like, occultism. Like, one of my favorite people on the planet is a guy called Freddie Silver.
Oh, I've had him a few times.
Yeah, he's a real angel, isn't he?
Yeah, I love Freddie.
Yeah, so he, like, I heard in one of his documentaries, right, he actually said, there's an information difference in this thing, and we have the information advantage. And I was like, what? You know, like Google, like Facebook, the cabal, like, surely they have the information advantage. But the more I've gone on this, you know, more on the spiritual side of things, more I've seen Freddie was bloody right about that, because like the real action really is on those higher parts of the inner planes, Chris. And what, like, if you can just get out of the mess and start reaching down it, you can do things and get access to things they cannot get access to. So this is what I like about it. It's not like waiting for the cavalry. It's not, you know, it's not Q stuff where it's like, oh yeah, follow the trust the plan and watch the fireworks. Like, don't do that is my advice, right?
Right.
It's more like, oh, you're already awake. The normies will wake up whenever they wake up. The half asleep people are still waking up. Fine. You are where you are. Now go and access as much of that higher stuff as you can get and get it through, because then you can pull much more of your weight, and you will, you know?
Mm. Do you think that all this negativity and extreme evil is necessary in our reality for our spiritual growth? There are some that believe that these globalists and elitists are part of our system, because we would not be able to grow without this struggle, without the darkest aspects of reality. So we wouldn't understand what true love and true experience really was without that. What do you think about that?
I think it's categorically true. Mm. And also, like they're closer to you than you think. Like, let's just say you're like a codependent, right? And you know, you look at this person, they really wouldn't hurt a fly. They're kind, they're overly empathetic, and they really just try to do everything they can to help people, right? And who do those people find? They always find like a narcissistic abuser. And what happens is their own unfulfilled superiority and specialness gets projected onto that person. And they kind of like take that from them, you see, and almost like the way that like a hydrogen atom and an oxygen atom must find themselves, so too must those two characters who resonate at the same level. It's shame, actually, both in the narcissist and the codependent. They find each other, and then one will find superiority and one inferiority, and that's how they come together. Well, my point, right, and it's a subtle point, like, is the codependent so innocent? Like, if the narcissist is a projection of the unfinished business of the codependent, then who's doing the evil? You know? Yeah, don't get me wrong. Narcissists are evil. They're aggressors. They're vampirizing on people like that in all these fucking nasty ways. So they are committing a sin, a series of very egregious sins. There is no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm looking into those people and they are my unfinished business and they are literally my shadow and my shadow is part of me, well, who's the fucking evil one? You know, like, how responsible am I for that clown that I bump into that does these horrible things to me and other people.
I'd love to get your insights. I like to hear different perspectives of this. Do you think that we as free thinkers, as questioners of authority, as people who feel like we are on the right side of history at this moment, do you think we may be the majority and everything else is an illusion that tries to get us to think that this woke crowd is the majority and is in control of our reality more than we think? I think that that's an illusion. I think that more and more, if not we're not already the majority, that we are sure close to it by now. What do you think?
Yeah, I in broad strokes, I agree with you, man. Like, for sure, part of their whole thing is to make their vocal minority appear bigger than it is. And you see that in a crowd. Like, if you, heaven forbid, you work in an office or something like that, you'll find that you're cajoled by, like, one or two, like, vocal Karens or, like, you know, sort of, like, nasty little beats. Yeah, right. But, like, and then they sway the group a lot more than, like, just the two or three people. And you make, like, for example, like, feminism, which is a, you know, largely a top down constructs, like, you know, designed by the cabal and then inculcated into this culture, like, from the top down, right? Yeah. But, like, that's a lot of people don't know that that's a really unpopular opinion. Like, I think someone needs to fact check this, right? But it's something like 10 or 15% of women in the UK would identify themselves as feminists. So, but you wouldn't think that looking at how much it's overrepresented in, like, adverts and media and that kind of thing, right? Mm. So a really unpopular opinion appears to be the majority. So that is going on. But then it's like, well, how many people are actually really getting it? And I think, man, it's a wave, you know, like, there's awakening isn't just, oh, yeah, I get it now. It's like bodybuilding. It's a total scale, you know, And then the question is, well, where's your cutoff point? You know, how awake do you have to be to be counted as an awake person, and how much is not, you know?
Yeah.
But I do think there are many of us out there who see through it and secretly or overtly want this good system. I think it's a decent chunk.
One of the most dangerous agendas right now is the attack on children, the attempt to sexualize children, the attempt to alter children, because that's going to be our next generation. That's going to be what decides ultimately where we're going to go in the future is our children. And there is this war right now is focused on them, focused on jabbing them, focused on getting their mental stability to be insane, trying to demoralize them. Sexualization of children from social media to pornography at the tip of a fingertip. It's a very dangerous time for the development of children and adolescents right now. And I think this is going to be a huge determining factor of where we can go in the future is if we can break out of that and save our generation of children from this madness. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree to everything you're saying there. And I think, like, look, man, I coach a lot of adults, right? Like, in the 30s, 40s, what have you, that, like, have a masturbation issue, for example. So it just goes to show you can be a wise, high-performing individual that's been around for, like, 40-odd years, and this sexual energy is still really difficult to control. What about when you're, like, 9, and you have, like, adult-level sexual energy thrust upon you?
Mm-hmm.
It does damage. Like, the evidence is overwhelming that that's the case. No matter how much woke window dressing you dress it up with. So we do have to protect our children and, like, keep, you know, do the best to give them the biggest leg up for, like, being able to have, like, a functioning good psyche and spirit that's capable of expressing love, right? Otherwise you go the other way and you, because they're making more of them like this, where, like, you're in this slave mentality, or you get a little bit more retarded. You identify with the abuse, and then you start to become an Agent Smith, and you start being the aggressor, and then you become even more evil. Mm. But the devil's in the detail, right? What do you do about it? And I think for this instance, and more or less all of them, right, you follow the energy of the age. So we are coming out of the end of the age of Pisces. Pisces is two fish. Each astrological age lasts for 2,200 years. Most of you'll know this, and most of your audience will know this, but I'm saying it for the ones that don't, right? You get all 12 of them in the south of the zodiac, you get a great year of 25,000 years, okay? Pisces is two fish. The first fish is the light fish, so that's the Christ, Jesus Christ. Okay, and then so spiritually, psychologically, materially, what was happening in the beginning of the age of Pisces is everyone's reaching up to the heavens, coming together in these schools of fish, these hierarchies, right? So that's why we go to a school in the age of Pisces. That's why the Christians, when they do their ceremony, it's called mass. We're learning to swim together with all the other fishes. That's why Christ is the fish; he's the fisherman. It's all fish metaphors, you know. That's why. Last age, it's all age of Aries, so there's all ram's horn stuff. The one before that was Taurus, which is why like Moses was really angry when everyone was doing the Taurus stuff, worshipping the golden calf when he came down from the mountain with the new way, right? So we're going through, so we're in Aries. The first fish was the Christ. So what you have is these great cathedrals building up in the cities as everyone masses together, swims together in these schools. Don't go outside, stay conform, make sure you do that. And let's together reach for this Christ consciousness. But as time went on, the second fish, kind of the first fish, goes into the dark fish. Pisces is two fishes. And now, you know, you start to look at the cities and you get these skyscrapers that are about political power, banks, corporations, like that kind of thing. And like, and what are these great ugly skyscrapers reaching to the heaven for? They're reaching for power. The individual power of the not the whole person, but the egoic consciousness of that individual reaching for that kind of false apotheosis, right? And that's the satanic fish in the age of Pisces. And what happens is these power pyramids, they stop becoming everyone seeking the Christ. No one's seeking the Christ in a fucking corporation, right?
Right.
It's office politics. It's power plays. It's narcissism. It's Machiavellian. It's all that shit, which is the way it had to be. It was baked into the cake, right? Now, these sick power pyramids, what happens is people wake up, they see what's going on, and then whoosh, they fly out into the network. So notice how what people in our system want. We want to get away from the ship. We want to get to the countryside. We want to get on the cryptos. We're finding our knowledge from the internet. Like me and you are connecting like this all around the world. But what we are not is in some sort of power playing hierarchy right now. Me and you are going out like this, you see. So that is a fractal pattern, which is passing through all of us now as this age comes through. And it's going to be like that for like 2,200 years ago. And then we'll have to do it again as we go into Capricorn, right? Yeah. So the answer to your question, the way that the kids are getting done in, yeah, it's fucking horrific. And there's thousands of horrific things like that happening now in these poisoned schools, power schools, hierarchies that we're in. And the solution to that, I suggest, is the solution to all of them. We have to leave them, move into the network, and then be like the age of Aquarius. Seek knowledge, seek the weirdness of your own self-actualization, draw power from that, and connect with discernment and with prejudice, kind of like the way me and you are connected now, Chris, with other people all around like the world like that. And then with that sort of system in place, I don't think that sort of devilish way that we do with the kids can really happen.
Right.
Well, what do you make of that?
No, I agree. I agree. I think we have to check out of all these systems that are keeping us in this perpetual state of insanity and slavery and keeping us from achieving our true potential as humans. Now, earlier you mentioned UFOs a couple of times, and I think we could tie this back to spirituality because most of the most profound UFO and extraterrestrial encounters that experiencers have come on my show to talk about, as well as my own experiences, most of them, not all of them, but most of them have been of such a positive nature that have changed people's lives spiritually, that have led them on a new path, that have given them new insights. And I think people have a major understanding of what's happening with UFOs and extraterrestrials, especially when it comes to the mainstream. There's a major disconnect there because that's propaganda. That's a psychological operation, what they're showing us on the news. They're painting these things as little green men that comes across the galaxy to stick things in our butts, and they may want to take over the planet, and they may be a threat, so we're just going to go shoot them down, but we need their technology because we're going to advance it. So that's the military. That's the mainstream thing with UFOs, but there's a completely different thing going on that may not even have anything to do with what we're seeing in the sky as UFOs, but there's a spiritual consciousness connection with intelligences, with beings that probably exist just beyond the spectrum of our vision that have a connection to us as humans that are trying to assist us along in this reality and get us to become more aware. And I believe that these intelligences are making themselves a little bit more vocal these days and no, known to more people, and that is why we're seeing this kind of information war between the mainstream and the real people who understand what don't really understand, but understand better what's going on as far as the spiritual aspects of ufology and extraterrestrials, because I think it is a spiritual phenomenon. I think these beings are here, and they are a part of us. Not maybe not all of them, but I think there are extra-dimensional beings, angelic, either what you could call our spirit guides or ancestors, or even extraterrestrials, if you want to see them as that way, that are here, that exist to assist us in some way, and maybe they're a part of us in some way. We just don't understand. But that is where there's this disconnect from the mainstream and the spiritual aspect, and I want to get your insights into what could possibly be happening with extraterrestrials.
Well, I think probably we're on a very similar page there, Chris. So I mean, like, do you subscribe to this sort of the way Stephen Greer looks at the whole thing? Where it's like,
I do.
Like,
yeah, it's very similar in some ways. Yeah, there are. Ways.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think there's like malevolent factions of ETs, or do you think
what I've been mulling over lately, and I've had plenty of guests that have brought up synchronistic information to keep me on this path, is that possibly what we understand as extraterrestrials and interdimensional beings may be a form of consciousness, pure consciousness, intelligence that can manifest into different entities, maybe sometimes seemingly physical, and interact with us on different levels, astral levels, in our sleep, in different altered states of consciousness, that this pure consciousness and intelligence can manifest into our perception as, say, a gray alien or an extraterrestrial, and give us an experience that we need to get to that new level of awareness. But I think there's a malevolent side. I think it's us. I think that there are humans that are posing as extraterrestrial. I think there's a huge psychological operation that involves the military when it comes to mind control and extraterrestrial and abductions. I think that our military is abducting people and either implanting false memories or deceiving us in some way to make us to have these abduction experiences, and then they send these people out into the UFO community to perpetuate these negative types of experiences so that we believe that the extraterrestrials are here to take us over. I think that that's a whole other side to it. Are there physical beings that are non-human that exist beyond the spectrum? Possibly. I don't know. But I do think that there is a level of energy that we're in, pure consciousness that we're interacting with, that may not have physicality at all.
Well, they're definitely, man. So I absolutely agree with you that like the deep state is up to those shenanigans. I think you don't have to dig that far to find excellent evidence of that. But you don't have to be that much of an occultist. Like, you don't have to have been doing it that many years to understand, like, yeah, there are different entities that exist in the inner planes and you can contact them, and some are good and some are evil and some of them are very advanced and that kind of thing. And you get celestial beings as well. But I also think there are different planets, and there are beings that live on different planets that have the scale of physics that come to visit here. And also, like, maybe like through the scale of physics, they travel through something that looks like the astral or the celestial world in order to get here. Yeah. So and the deep state has its own UFO fleet. So I think you have to understand deep state politics. You have to understand the occultism stuff, and you have to understand the scale of physics and the fact that there are, you know, 300 billion stars in our galaxy, 300 billion galaxies in this universe, and, you know, goodness knows how many universes.
Yeah, I go back and forth. I consider very often that there is an entire spectrum of physical beings that are sitting here in my room with me that we just can't perceive, or they have the ability to cloak themselves. I think we might be surrounded by these entities that have maybe some physical aspects, or are physical in some realm or some spectrum, but we just can't perceive them or see them because our awareness hasn't reached that level yet, or maybe they don't want us to see us yet. So I go back and forth on all this stuff. I think it's all very possible.
Well, on that front, I have like personal working knowledge of, and I can corroborate what you're saying.
Oh, I'd love
yes,
it.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed, that is the case. Yes, that's, you know, that's how it works. Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the things that you've heard about regarding those aspects that I was just mentioning?
Well, seen, done, interacted with. Yeah, like if you're gonna be like an occultist, like sooner or later you have to sort of map out the inner planes and start to negotiate with the different energies and entities and forces that there are there, and different creatures, angels, demons, different types of elementals, and all sorts of that. You can, like so much of like the Western magical tradition, for example, which is, there's one gnosis, right? And then many, many different paths up the mountain. So you could be a shaman in South America, and that's legitimate. You could be like an Eastern tradition person. And I like the Western tradition for a lot of reasons. I dabble with a lot of them, but I like the theory from the Western tradition. I like that it, because I am a Westerner, so it matches my psyche really well. And I like the way it sort of frames everything. But so much of that is dealing with these different elementals and different, like literally making contacts with like saints and angels and like aeonic creatures and like negotiating with them, with dealing with them. And like what you do like really early on is you learn how to paint like the astral light. Like you learn how to make objects in the astral light, and you don't actually need to be that good to start to actually make an object like in the astral that stays. So and then someone, probably the easiest way to do it, and I don't necessarily think this is the right way to do it. This is the way I went in.
Well, I was
I think
just
it was.
about to say, it seems like there's unlimited modalities, and there's not necessarily a right or wrong way to do anything when we're dealing with these magical or occult practices. It's more about the intent and making this our own, right?
Yeah. So look, you are consciousness. It's a really expansive, weird, groovy thing. Find a practice or series of practices that speak to your heart, your soul, your heart and your soul movements. But to finish that point, like you can actually learn to astrally project pretty quickly and easily. I don't necessarily think it's a good idea to do, don't necessarily think it's a bad idea to do early on either. But you can learn pretty quickly, and like you can go see the astral for yourself. Like even if you just snap out for 3 or 4 seconds before you get too excited, and you can see these thought forms all around you, like and you can negotiate with them, and it's not just like, oh, there's some dodgy thing, I don't want to open that. It's like, well, you're doing it anyway. This is actually how your psyche works anyway. But when you go do something like astrally project, or you do something like a ritual, like a ritual of ceremonial magic, you're grappling with it in a meaningful way rather than just letting it run its course automatically, which I guess has advantages and disadvantages.
Something I've spoken with just recently believe that these thought forms or egregores are just something that we create and put out there into the astral realm, and that is what we understand as demons and angels, and that's it. It's just all part of our own thought forms. But I'd like to think that there are different types of intelligences and entities that exist in those realms other than just what we created out of our own imagination. What do you
I
think?
think so. I mean, look, because in the end, like I'm not enlightened, right? I'm not even that good of an occultist. Like I know something, and I have some practical skill, and mostly I have tons of questions and tons of accidents and mistakes that I have to fix, right? But from what I've learned, like the etheric body, and then the astral next to it, it's like it's low end stuff, like the real what I was trying to get at earlier in the call, right? Is like try to get to that celestial realm where all the love is, and because that's where all the action is, you see. But whether that whole thing, that even that higher level bridge that goes all the way to the creator, like, is that just something you fully make up, and is up for personal individual arbitration as well? I don't know, man. It's far beyond what I currently know.
It's so
But what do you think?
interesting because I was just talking about this the other day for people's out-of-body experiences, astral experiences, even myself when I had sleep paralysis and I saw these shadow people. It's like these entities are sort of gatekeepers to see how far you're willing to go, to see what you're willing to do, to see how aware you are, advanced you are, and they're like gatekeepers to either prevent you from getting out there or help you to get to the next level by gaining a new understanding. And if that's by scaring the shit out of you, maybe that's what has to be done. Maybe that's why they appear as shadow people or demons, right?
Yeah, that's you're onto something really important there. I think that's exactly how it works. And when you progress on this thing, you get to a new level, and you're not quite good at it, right? And then some evil person, it could be a physical evil person, or it could be a literal demon or one of the shadow creatures you saw, will check you. And it's like, are you sure? You sure you're that good? And it's like, and then you get afraid or you get it wrong or whatever, and then you're sent back. That is exactly how it works. And so one of the core messages from that, which helps you with resentment, which is something I've suffered from for too much of my life, right, is to understand that the evil people, and indeed like demons and stuff like that, right, they are for you to help you with your weaknesses. They're for you to help you with your weaknesses. So take like a, I don't know, like a physical bully or something, right? If you have trouble with them, it means you don't know how your aggression isn't good, your confrontation isn't good, and maybe you don't know martial arts good enough. Fix all that stuff, they will never bother you ever again. And it's like that with all of these problems, you see. And what the evil person does, which is a retarded, to be evil is a retarded state. They're not strong, right? But they're willing to do what other people cannot do, you see, because they've rejected all the morals, which degrades their character, but gives them certain advantages because they can lie and steal and cheat and the rest of it, right?
Yeah.
They're searching for all your little weaknesses. And then when they find one, they'll fucking stick the knife in and go for it because that's their job. But in doing so, they expose you on your weaknesses and they become your unfinished business and they present you an option to grow. And I think that's a big part of the age. Evil climbs in those big power pyramids that you get at the end of the age of Pisces to give enough. And this is a kind of a nuanced idea, so bear with, ask me if it doesn't make any sense, right? But there's so much of that shadow material that gets this massive lever that pushes up and pushes us to dig so deep on our personal development that catapults us to this next level with, you know, the UFOs, the med beds, the AI and the rest of it. Like, I think that is actually how it goes.
Yeah, we're entering a very exciting time, I believe. I think that the next few years that we already live in a completely different world than we did pre-2020. And it's rapidly, rapidly changing, whether we're not participating with some of the madness or not. It's going to continue to change, but it will be up to us what the end outcome is and where we are at the end of this. But I'm excited, and I have very high hopes for where we're going. And Richard, this was excellent. Before we close this out, let the audience know what you offer with your coaching if they're interested in finding out more about it.
Oh, thanks for the compliments, Chris. So yeah, if you want me as your life coach, like if you like the cut of my jib, then you can reach out to me at richardharriscoaching.com. Perhaps there'll be a link in the description. And I do a live stream. I aim to do it every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. UK time. But because I've been on this pilgrimage for the last 6 weeks, it's been a bit sloppy. But so there's a lot. And you can find me on odyssey.com for that. And then the other thing I'd like to plug is liberty, right? So like the reason I do all this, and I think the reason why Chris does all this, is like we're actually trying to bring in this free world, right? So if you've been interested in what we've said, my challenge to you is go live one more free, see if you can, one more step free, see if you can find love inside you a little bit more, see if you can find a little bit more power, a little bit more truth, a little bit more integrity, see if you can get away from those clown systems one more step. So that would, freedom and love is the other thing I'd like to plug there.
Yes, of course, 100%. And what's the best way for people to find you, and if you have any social media or anything like that?
Yeah, so those are the two. RichardHarrisCoaching.com is my coaching website, and I'm on Odyssey.com, Richard Harris Coaching. And you know, you see interviews like this is on there, and my live stream every Tuesday.
Perfect. Richard, this was fantastic. There's much more we could get into, so I'd love to have you back on in the future.
I'd love that too, man. I'll speak to Victoria, and we'll arrange that.
Excellent. And until next time, everyone, have a wonderful evening. We'll be talking again Sunday, and we'll see y'all then.